in the limelight.
Then Vice President Joe Biden, along with his pick to lead the Pentagon, Lloyd Austin, and Secretary of State Antony Blinken, were amongst the most prominent people in the Obama administration to have drafted their war strategy in Syria. This strategy entailed arming, training, and funding what they called moderate rebels, which turned out not only to fail when these forces engaged the likes of Daesh and others on the battlefield, but just so happened to align themselves with Al-Qaeda terrorists. We now present you an article written by Robert Inlakesh, a journalist, writer, and political analyst who has lived and reported from occupied West Bank. The piece is titled, Biden Continues Policies Which Put Kids in Cages in Syria. Please stay with us for more of Robert Inlakesh's article. U.S. President Joe Biden and his Secretary of State Antony Blinken backed policies towards Syria which saw innocent children separated from their families and placed in cages. But the worst part of it is that they have no quarrels with doing it again. Despite many having celebrated U.S. President Joe Biden's alleged policy position of eliminating the conditions which led to the separation of families and placing children in cages, the reality is that he still supports that very same wrong policy in Syria. Then Vice President Joe Biden, along with his pick to lead the Pentagon, Lloyd Austin, and Secretary of State Antony Blinken, were among the most prominent people in the Obama administration to have drafted their war strategy in Syria. This strategy entailed arming, training, and funding what they called moderate rebels, which turned out not only to fail when these forces engaged the likes of Daesh and others on the battlefield, but just so happened to align themselves with Al-Qaeda terrorists. Joe Biden recently signed three separate executive orders in order to reform, not necessarily legislation, but policy, when it comes to the highly criticized actions of U.S. immigration detainment facilities. However, many don't consider that President Biden has presided over an administration who deported more refugees than Donald Trump and also helped pave the way to the highly criticized actions under the Trump administration. Under the then Commander-in-Chief and President Barack Obama, the CIA funneled weapons and money to Takfiri extremist groups via a covert program known as Timber Sycamore. The primary stated aim of funding these groups in Syria was to supposedly install moderate forces in control in Syria, removing Syrian President Bashar al-Assad from power. Another part of this strategy was to allegedly combat the more radical groups like Daesh terrorists, which these groups rarely ever did. The United States, alongside the likes of Saudi Arabia, funded the terrorist group known as Jabhat al-Nusra or the al-Nusra Front. Jabhat al-Nusra was found to have not only encaged entire families, including children, of course, as far back as 2015, but was also using them to deter airstrikes on their positions in eastern Ghouta in Syria. This was whilst the Western mainstream press was presenting the terrorists as being the victims, effectively using their information against the Syrian government. In the 2016 WikiLeaks Hillary emails dump, we also learned that Hillary Clinton openly discussed Saudi Arabia and the Israeli regime as having backed Daesh terrorists and Al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria. Not only this, but US-backed factions had openly aligned themselves with Jabhat al-Nusra, or the al-Nusra Front, also al-Qaeda in Syria, and had committed horrific atrocities on camera. One such brutal act was committed by Harakat Nur ad-Din al-Zengi, which were backed by the United States at the time and described as moderate rebels. This group beheaded a 10-year-old Palestinian boy, which they gleefully filmed. There are a plethora of crimes committed by US-backed factions and supposedly accidental airdroppings of weapons to Daesh, which we could take hours going over. But what is most key to understand is Joe Biden's role in these crimes. The reason Joe Biden has to be held to account for this now, and why it should be a huge issue of concern, is due to the fact that his entire administration is seeking a continuation of its occupation of Syrian lands. However, the current policy of today is not necessarily one of attempting to once again fund armed terrorist groups, although that can't be ruled out as a possibility, but rather to strangle the innocent people of Syria. For instance, Joe Biden's pick to head the Pentagon's West Asia desk, Dana Struhl, openly speaks about what objectives the US has in occupying northeastern Syria. The first one was the one-third of Syrian territory that was owned by the US military with its local partner. That one-third of Syria is the resource-rich. It's the economic powerhouse of Syria. So where the hydrocarbons are, which obviously is very much in the public debate in Washington these days, as well as the agricultural powerhouse. Additionally, alarming is that Secretary of State Antony Blinken indicated that not only would the US stay in Syria during his Senate confirmation hearing addresses, but also considered taking further action in Syria. Antony Blinken, being one of the men behind the catastrophic US government failure in Syria, which helped lead to the deaths of up to 500,000 people in the country, wants more pressure on the Syrian government, who won't reignite its economy with the help of its allies like Iran and Russia to aid its impoverished population. The biggest problem is that though the likes of the hardline Trump-era Caesar Act sanctions, the people of Syria now have little option left and suffer immensely, all due to US obsession with destroying their country and seizing its resource utilization. The sanctions placed upon Syria are not starving or hurting the government of Syria, but instead they're hurting the people of Syria, and this economic fallout is even spilling over into neighboring Lebanon. If the Biden administration really cared about refugees, then why continue to create them in the first place? Why not enable them to return home when many would love to go back home but can't due to US economic warfare? Why should a man who helped push millions of people from their homes, many of them dying in the process, be praised over some weak executive orders? From a Syrian refugee's perspective, how can you praise the man who planned the murder of your family and the destruction of your home simply for letting you live in his yard in the United States, in the dirt, in the refugee camps after the fact, yet making the decision to no longer separate you from your children during this process? Not only this, but it's clear from Antony Blinken having lied about Iran being months away from a nuclear bomb, echoing Israeli Lieutenant General Aviv Kochavi, that the US government is perhaps seeking to pursue Donald Trump's so-called failed maximum pressure campaign even further. If this campaign is continued, a big part of it is focused on Syria, and it seems that the Democrat establishment is picking up where it left off in the war-torn country. Children may or may not be in the cages along the US border anymore under Biden, but in Syria, every man, every woman, and every child lives in one big cage under Joe Biden's misguided and cruel policies.